This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. We're going to have a great show today. I want to let you know that we were going to have Mr. Fain Haynes for his second run through his experiences over during World War II in the European front. But unfortunately, he has become ill, bronchitis, but he'll kick that real quick, and we'll be expecting him back in the next few days. And Mr. Larry Stewart was nice enough to come on this morning. Larry's always, he rides shotgun for me. He takes care of me when things come up, and I appreciate it, Larry. I mean, you've been a good friend all these years.
Thank you, sir, and I'm just honored to be mentioned in the same sentence with Mr. Haynes.
That is an honor. It really is. And a lot of people were looking forward to listening to him today, because the first show, we got to the point of the battles after D-Day and the Battle of the Bulge and things like that, and then we're going to get into another phase, and it'll be interesting when he's on. And you were telling me, and actually I knew it, but Mr. Butch Campbell just had some surgery.
Butch had some back surgery, and we want to wish him well. And I hadn't talked to him, but I'm sure Butch is doing fine and capable hands. But we want to wish him a speedy recovery, let him get back on the school board and get back to volunteer work at the hospital and everything that he does.
Yeah, and we got to have him back for the clock, too.
That's exactly right.
I mean, nobody can watch a game and do a clock like Butch Campbell.
If you look over there and you don't see Bob Gardner and Butch Campbell, you think you're in the wrong gym. Sometimes.
Yeah, you start searching for the place you need to go.
That's right.
And we want to let you know that the first part of this show is brought to you by At Home Care. When you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. At Home Care is different than any others you see in the local marketplace because they're owned and operated by longtime Murfreesboro resident Melissa Warren. That means that Home Care is hands-on, involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. At Home Care provides top-quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee. Whether you need a 24/7 companion, ongoing assistance with transportation to doctors or church, and maybe laundry, housekeeping, personal care, or more, At Home Care is here for you. At Home Care, 713-4639. That's telephone number 713-4639. Online at homecaretennessee.com. At homecaretennessee.com. At Home Care, your number one source for the best care in Middle Tennessee. You know, we were talking a little bit, like, well, actually, we get on probably 30 or 40 subjects when we get together, and I always enjoy the conversations with you because I always find out something about some of my friends that probably I didn't know at the time, and some of the interesting people we've had around here. And one of the people that we were talking about this morning is Jay Cole, and to me, he was one of the best ball players that ever played high school ball in the state of Tennessee. And he was playing at the same time that Jimmy Monk Montgomery was playing.
Right.
And a lot of times he would kind of get lost in the headlines, but people don't realize how really good he was.
Well, he was one of the best to have ever played in Tennessee, no doubt about it, him and Monk. And they both graduated from high school in 1963, made All-State in 63. And they fought it out for the scoring battle every year. Mm-hmm. Now, Jay always led the state in scoring, though Monk is the all-time leading scorer for a career because Monk played 5 years. Mm-hmm. And unless the eighth grade was incorporated with the high school like we were back in those days, you couldn't play on a high school team. And when Jay went to Knoxville, so he up there, you know, they were four-year high schools.
Right.
And, of course, he went on he was going to the University of Alabama, and like a lot of us back in those days, we didn't do exactly all we were supposed to do in high school, and found out he didn't have enough credit. So he went to Texas El Paso or Texas Western, or whatever it was called. And he was the leading scorer on the freshman team in 1963-64. Played with Big Daddy Latin, Bobby Joe Hill, and everybody knows the movie Glory Road.
Right.
That Jay was on that team when they were freshmen. And Jay Cole transferred back to Martin because he got homesick, Martin Junior College, where mm-hmm. Coach Earl coached. Had Jay Cole stayed at Texas El Paso, that team would have had a different makeup when they won the national championship mm-hmm. in 66, because Jay Cole was the leading scorer on the freshman team, set the record for the most points ever scored by a freshman out there. So he was quite a player. And, of course, played a year at Martin and then transferred to Middle Tennessee and played at Middle Tennessee and was a crowd favorite because in the old days he would have been called a hot dog because he could. But, you know,
Pete Maravich, huh?
Right. A lot of people were hot dogs, but they couldn't back it up. Mm-hmm. Jay Cole was a hot dog, and he could back it up. I mean, he was the crowd. People would go to the old alumni gym to see what Jay Cole was going to do, you know, what kind of shot he was going to make. And so, I mean, he was one of the best I've ever played in this state. Yeah. And then when Monk died, Thomas, his brother, had the 1963 All-State team there.
Mm-hmm.
Monk Montgomery, I don't remember all of them, but Monk Montgomery, Jay Cole, Kenny Campbell, Tommy Barnes from Murfreesboro was on that team. A guy from Memphis that went on and played, I forget where. But anyway, somebody asked me, said, how would you like to have played on that team? I said, I wouldn't, because there was nobody to take the ball out of bounds on that team. Everybody was shooters and scorers. You know, we would have had to have hired a manager to take the ball in bounds. But that was a great year for basketball in Tennessee, 1963.
You know, it would have been one of those teams that would probably broke the record for the least amount of passes in a game.
Well, we had an old-timers game at Middle Tennessee one year, and the great Monty Hale was yes. doing the commentary in the gym, not on the radio. And, we was all old and out of shape and everything. And Jay Cole picked the ball up and just flung it to the other end, and I got it and put it in. And Monty Hale said, ladies and gentlemen, you have just witnessed the first assist in Jay Cole's career. And I suspect that was probably right.
But, you know, when you're like, that good, just like take Monk and Jay and you yourself, people don't realize how much time you put on the court in practice just doing all the great things. They look at you guys, they look at somebody like Larry Bird, and they say, well, he's just got that natural talent. Well, you have to have a natural talent to go with it, but if you don't hone it, you don't go to
that
level.
Well, if you don't get in the gym and work, you get behind.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't near as bad back in the days when I played as it is now. I mean, we went home in the summer. They don't even get to do that now. They're in the gym all the time because everybody else is in that gym. And the kids that think they're good and don't work, they're not going to be successful. Not anymore.
You've kept up with basketball and sports all your life. You've played it all. You've done everything. And there's one thing that I haven't seen too much of in the last, and maybe I don't watch as much as I used to, but I don't see the pure shooters in the game. It's all athleticism, dunks. You know, I've never understood why somebody driving underneath the goal and running up and slamming it through the goal, it's 6'7" to 7 feet tall, why that's such a big deal when you got guys out there 25, 30 feet that are just popping it through the net.
Somebody like J. Cole, Monk, myself, that were shooters.
Yeah.
You don't see that anymore. And the game has changed. That's one reason. And I think another reason is they work with weights so much to get so strong to play the game than they have to play today that I think it kind of affects their shooting. Now, Adolph Rupp said Jimmy Montgomery was the best shooter he had ever seen. And I'd say Coach Rupp had seen a few in his day. But when Monk was playing at Auburn, he made that statement that he said, of course, Monk was on and being disciplined and wasn't going to play, but he just put on a little shooting exhibition.
Uh-huh.
And Coach Rupp, the story goes that Rupp asked the Auburn coach, said, who is that guy? He said, well, said, he's not playing. He's disciplined. And Rupp said, well, he must have killed somebody. He's the best shooter I ever saw. And me, too. He was the best shooter that I ever saw.
But you just said something that made me wonder. Adolph Rupp, who was one of the best recruiters in the United States, he didn't know who Jimmy Montgomery was at Auburn?
Evidently he didn't know when Monk went to Auburn. Now, the people in Louisville knew who he was because of Foots Compton.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I don't know, maybe Monk should have, if Foots wanted him to go to Louisville, maybe he should have gone. I don't know, but.
Wouldn't it have been great if he had stayed here at MTSU?
Yeah. Now, he would have filled the gym.
Yeah.
And, you know, though the people that come to see Monk play, their dollar just as good as the lawyers here in Murfreesboro. But he would have filled the gym. Every time we played in the no alumni gym, and it wasn't filled too many times, but he would have filled it. Sort of like Willie Brown did. You know, him and Willie would have played on the same team, and I don't know whether that would have worked or not because Willie was a gunner, mm-hmm. and so was Monk. So, but people would have come to see him play. They went to Gainesboro and everywhere else when he was in high school to see him play.
Monk was on, and you were a gunner. When you're a gunner like that, I have seen Monk when he could just put him 15, 20 in a row, just bang, bang, bang. There's no telling how many points he would score if they had the three-point line right there.
Well.
But I have seen Monk have days where he wouldn't hit the rim for four or five shots. He would get into that zone or something.
Well, you get into a comfort zone, and then you get in, you do a little something wrong, and it don't, and it, and it's, throws everything off. Mm-hmm. So you get into both of them, but Monk could figure it out before the game was over. You could count on that. But he was a shooter. There's no doubt about it.
I know when you would get hot, it almost seems like the rim kind of expands out, and everything you throw up is going to go in there.
It felt like it was, and you know, we'd say it would get as big as a number two wash tub sometime, mm-hmm. and you know back at when I played, we used a backboard a lot more than you see them use it now. Yeah. And, you know, that backboard would make a 40% shooter a 50% shooter if you just use it. And but now I reckon they think it's kind of uncool to use it or, you know, whatever. But
you remember the backboards when you played, they weren't glass, were they?
Well,
they just come
when
in?
I was in high school, my freshman year in high school, they weren't. And they weren't square. They were kind of round.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But then they went to glass, and the square glass had the square on there, you know, for you to shoot in. And I have played in gyms that they weren't glass, but that's a long time ago.
Things have changed, haven't they?
Yes, they have. Yes, they have.
And then you went into coaching, and then you went in, you were a principal at Las Casas, and you know, being a principal at Las Casas, you always had to prepare yourself for the next day, didn't you?
Oh, I did.
So, and you had a certain a habit of doing things. So, when you would get up in the morning to face the day and all the rigors, you would, I guess, test the waters a little bit, and then you would go to Brown's store,
right,
and have a biscuit and sausage, and
right.
And did you know? I've seen the movie. Hoosiers, and you remember when the coach went into the barbershop and all the guys were standing there and giving him instructions on how to run his team. Did you get that same information when you went to Brown's store in Las Casas? Did all the guys kind of circle around you and kind of give you the plan for the day?
They tried, but the only one I ever listened to was Buddy and Mo.
Yeah,
now, you
listened to Mo.
That's why I really went to Brown's store every morning, was to find out what they wanted me to do that day.
Ah,
and if I had was hiring a teacher, I would always check with Buddy and Mo, because uh-huh. if I didn't, then they would probably be hiring a new principal. See, so I knew how to play the game at Las Casas.
So you knew how the hierarchy worked
sure.
in that particular area.
Sure. Sure. Now, some of those people sat around the table over I didn't listen to.
Yeah.
But you listened.
Like McKee and some of those others?
Yeah, that was one of them. And even though he got
Bobby
to be on,
Wynn.
Bobby Wynn. McKee got to be on the school board and was one of the best ones we've ever had.
Really?
And he told me, he called me one time, and he said, "Stuart, you know, I've never told you who to hire." I said, uh-huh. "Don't start now." He said, "I'm not." He said, "I'm just telling you who got, don't think you ought to hire." And I said, "Well, I already had that figured out myself, McKee." But he did a great job.
Well, it was a special community to go into, and you fit right in because your personality and everything was exactly the way they were. I mean, you didn't take yourself serious or anybody else either at that time.
That was that's why I stayed 36 years. The only job I ever had in my life after I got out of college was at Las Casas. Never wanted to leave.
Now, there's one thing I've always wanted to ask you and never have asked you. Probably your best friend in the whole world was LDAG. Now, how did you develop a friendship with LD? Of course, everybody loved LD at that time, and I still do. I mean, I still think of him. What was it that drew LDAG to you?
Well, of course, all the coaches hung out at AG Sporting Goods back when he was on Maple Street. And, you know, we'd practice, and then me and Bob Burton and Elmer Brown and Harris Hooper and there, we'd wind up at AG's and just talk. And LD and I got to be real close. Mm-hmm. And then we went into some ventures together. Some were good and some were not so good. And then it just, I don't know, Truman, just one of those deals where when you see him and you talk to him, you know that you want him to be your friend for the rest of his life. And he was. Thank God for that.
Well, coaches, of course, they always try to find the sporting goods store that's going to fit their needs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it's always been. Of course, LD went all the way back to Tommy Cole working for him when he was in school and things like that. So LD knew how to work with the coaches, and the coaches knew how to work with him. You know, people don't understand how important that is in your communities to have those type of relations, and that's what makes everything work in unison together. I mean, it's a special thing that I'm not too sure we may be going to get away from that.
Well, I think we've already gotten away from it. But back in those days now, had we not had LDAG, we would have had to have gone to Sparta or to Nashville or somewhere. And then I remember one night we were playing, and I don't know what happened. Nobody dunked the ball back then, but somebody broke a rim, or the rim broke. Mm-hmm. Well, my God, you can't play basketball with this one rim. Called LD at home. He went and got a rim, come out there. We were back playing in 30 minutes.
Wow.
Now, if we'd had to call Sparta or somewhere else, we would have had to cancel that game. And then the school would have had to come back another time, pay another bus trip and all that stuff. So it was real convenient to have a sporting goods store. And, you know, if you couldn't pay him, he'd let you wait. Pay me when you can.
And he's always accommodating. It didn't matter whether you were a college coach, a high school coach, or you're a little league ball player or whatever, whether you had enough money for a glove or a bat. Yeah. You know, you see these parents go in now and they're buying these $200, $300, $500 metal bats and buying all their stuff. And you think, back when we were playing, there would have been no way that our parents could have afforded any of that stuff.
The first time I ever saw LDAG was in 1962 when I came to Middle Tennessee after a junior college career, and he came over and measured us for shoes. Mm-hmm. Now, I had never been measured for a shoe. They'd just say what size you were, and I'd say 10 and a half, or they'd bring me one. If it didn't feel right, you wore it anyway. He tried them on us, and I thought, man, you know, I've never had this before. And that was when he worked for Mr. Cole.
Mm-hmm.
But he tried them on and made sure they fit. And, you know, he didn't have to do that. You know, we were college. We wasn't high school. Boy, we were college, but he did. And you know, it worked out that had he not have made them fit, you know, I'd have played all year in a shoe that didn't fit me. I had played before in some that didn't fit me in high school when you wore them 4 years.
Well, he was a classic example on how to run a business. And you were telling me a story. I don't know if you want to say who it was or not, but you were telling me a story of one of our great athletes whose son had different size feet.
Right.
And it was one was about three sizes different than the other.
Well, the kid was born with a club foot.
Uh-huh.
And when he got big enough to play sports and stuff, his daddy would buy two pair of shoes, a size 9 and a size 6. Mm-hmm. And then he would match them, and then he'd throw the other two away. And I said something to LD about it, and he said, oh, he don't have to do that. So the next time he came to the store, LD sold him a 9 and a 6, put the other 9 and 6 in a box, and sent them back to the company as missized. Mm-hmm. And it didn't cost anybody any money, and it saved the daddy a price for a pair of shoes, which back in those days wasn't much, but the money we made, it was a lot. And this kid's daddy said, you know, he didn't have to do that. But he said, I really appreciate it. And I'm sure he did.
And the thing about LD, he was doing all this himself, hands-on. if you went into his store, then you're going to be dealing with LD. I mean, someone may come and help you and try to work with you a little bit, but LD was always the one that stepped in and made sure that the customers was always satisfied and always taken care
of. Most of the time, somebody would come in, well, I need to see LD. Yeah. Well, what do you need? Well, I need a pair of shoestrings.
Yeah.
Well, I could have sold them a pair of shoestrings, but they wanted LD.
Yeah.
And most of the time, 99% of the time, they got LD, unless he was out calling on school and somewhere, you know, selling stuff. They got LD.
Well, you know, one of the fun things I used to do, of course, I ran a lot, and I'd run my shoes down in about 3 months. Usually they'd last about that. And I was always like the Asics brand because they were good running shoes. And one of my favorite things to do was I was always happy when they ran at down so I could go talk to LD.
Yep.
And then we could work out a deal for the shoes. Now, I'd go over there, those $120 shoes, and I said, goodness gracious, LD, I mean, you know that's way too high. There's a huge markup. Well, what do you think they're worth, Drummond? And then we would get to dickering, and then we would be in between, and it'd take us about 30 minutes, but we'd finally come to a conclusion.
Yeah,
he was that way. If I bought a pair of shoes for the price they were in there, we would both be upset.
Oh, yeah, and he lost money on every sale.
I bet he did.
He did. Hear him tell it.
Well, of course. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Larry Stewart.
I'm Chuck Haynes with Murfreesboro Automotive. I just want to welcome you to come by our new shop located between Chili's and Chewy's right off of Broad Street. One of our fall specials that we have going on right now, if you'll mention that you heard it here on WGNS, we will offer free front wiper blades with a standard oil change. So just bring your vehicle in. We do the standard oil change. It's only $29.95. You'll get a free set of front wiper blades, compliments of Murfreesboro Automotive.
To bag the deer of a lifetime, you have to be prepared. That's why you need to shop Murfreesboro Outdoors.
This is Randy at Murfreesboro Outdoors. We get camouflage clothes, shotguns, shells.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
Tennessee Radio Network News, I'm Jim Williams. With just under 3 weeks to go now till actual election day, the 6th of November, it's time to start casting ballots. Early voting's begun today across the volunteer state, and yes, you do have to comply with that new law, have a government-issued photo ID with you. Although such laws have been struck down in some other states, ours is still in place. Also, you'll be able to see on your ballot what parties candidates are members of, including minor groups like the Green or Constitution parties. Early voting available now through Thursday the 1st. There's more meningitis trouble, and this time it's in Murfreesboro, another Middle Tennessee State student. This time the student being treated had to be out in the community.
Rutherford County Schools say the student worked with a class of kids at Rockville Middle School last Thursday, and those parents have been notified. The type of meningitis the college student may have has not been released.
That's DRN's Dan Item. State health officials say fewer than 75 facilities across the state got the tainted steroids, drugs from the Massachusetts compounding pharmacy that's linked to the fungal meningitis outbreak. The health department says officials are still working to identify which places did get those suspect compounds.
With the cost of college rising every day, there's never been a better time to start saving. That's why the Tennessee Department of Treasury created the new Tennessee Stars College Savings 529 program. Visit www.tnstars.com to open an account with as little as $25. If you're a Tennessean and you open an account with at least $50 by December 31st, you get a one-time $50 match from the state. Plus, if you roll over your entire balance from another college savings plan, you'll receive $100 in your account. To learn about the Tennessee Stars College Savings 529 program, its investment objectives, risks, and costs, read the official statement available at www.tnstars.com or call toll-free at 855-386-7827. Check with your home state to learn if it offers tax or other benefits for investing in its own 529 plan. Open your Tennessee Stars account online at www.tnstars.com or call toll-free at 855-386-7827. Don't wait. Open your account today.
It's a half century in prison for a convicted drunk driver.
A Wilson County woman who crashed into a 4-year-old boy and his 69-year-old grandfather in July of 2011, killing them both instantly, has been sentenced to 50 years in prison. During Tuesday's sentencing hearing, Barbara Ann Mayfield says she was responsible for the tragedy and apologized to the victim's family.
TRN's Tanya J. Powers. Something much happier, country star and former Hootie and the Blowfish rock frontman Darius Rucker celebrated his induction into the Grand Ole Opry last night. He officially became a member after being surprised with an invite to join a few weeks ago from his pal Brad
at Paisley. Last year, Rucker was the opening act on Paisley's tour. And in sports, if the NHL has its way, the Predators and other teams will start the season soon. Team owners offering a 50-50 split of revenue in their latest labor proposal. Commissioner Gary Bettman says it's built on playing an 82-game regular season starting the 2nd of next month. Jim Williams, TRN News.
Next, it's the Better Business Focus with Terry Page.
Have devastating floods or storms affected you and your family? HRA Home Improvement is just a phone call away. HRA Home Improvement can handle just about any of your building needs. HRA Home Improvement is a local company with a mission to do the job right the first time, every time. Call your local general contractor, HRA Home Improvement Company, at 615-410-7924. Again, that number is 615-410-7924.
Identity theft is when someone uses your name, social security number, credit card number, or other personal information to apply for a credit card or gain access to your money. Some believe it won't happen to them, but more finding out it can. For tips on how to keep your identity safe, visit gobbb.org or call me at 867-0032. This is Terry Page with your local Better Business Bureau.
It's time. Blue Raiders.
Support your Blue Raiders as they compete for back-to-back Sun Belt Conference titles. Men's and women's basketball combo season tickets are on sale now and start as low as $199. Don't miss a single three-pointer. Score a slam dunk with season tickets today.
Show your true blue. Support your Blue Raiders. Tickets available at GoBlueRaiders.com or call 1-888-YES-MTSU. Go Blue Raiders.
Show your true blue with Middle Tennessee gear from Lightning's Locker Room. From dry fit hats and visors, moisture management tees and polos, official Nike apparel to signs, portable canopies and more, Lightning's Locker Room makes it easy to show your true blue. Be sure to ask about the Lightning Buck Program, a $5 off coupon on a $25 purchase of regular priced items. Lightning's Locker Room off-campus location, 910 Ridgely Road, turn off fraud between Chewy's and Chili's. Visit Lightning's Locker Room at the stadium Fridays and game days and show your true blue.
Now more of The Truman Show with Truman Jones on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with Larry Stewart. And we want to let you know this part of his show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. When you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything. From the simple oil change to major auto repair, Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's on to Ridgely Road. And all this month, when you mention you heard it on WGNS, get free front wiper blades with a standard $29.95 oil change at Murfreesboro Automotive. You heard it right. Just this month, when you mention you heard it on WGNS, get free front wiper blades with a standard $29.95 oil change at Murfreesboro Automotive. You know, we've seen a lot of changes in the sports, and I guess it's probably just mirrors the change that's gone on in this country. Everything seemed to be family-oriented back when you and I were growing up. If dads were working, then that's primarily what it was. Moms took care of us. They took us to all the practices, all the games. I guess it was fortunate that really we had three main sports back then, and that was baseball and football and basketball. And I don't know how our moms did it, but, you know, I can still remember that was a major part of growing up back then, and our moms made sure that we had the best that was available that they were able to afford at that time.
Yeah, and you know, they carried you to practice and they stayed with you.
Yep.
They didn't drop you off and ask somebody else to bring you home. Now, you were fortunate enough that, you know, you could have probably ridden your bicycle. I lived 7 miles from either way I went to play sports. It was 7 to 10 miles. So that left somebody. And it was, like you said, Daddy was working, so it was Mama that had to get me there. And, you know, or sometimes I'd hitchhike. We always hitchhiked home after basketball practice. Mm-hmm. And you could always catch a ride because people knew you, knew what you was doing, and knew you wasn't going to cause them any problems. And I hitchhiked home from Fulton, Mississippi, every time I wanted to come home for 2 years, I'd just hitchhike, you know, and I never thought a thing about it. I was 17-year-old, but I never thought a thing about it. And back then, there was no interstate, so you could do that. And 45 Highway ran all the way from Tupelo to Fulton, Kentucky, where I was going, and went all the way to Cairo, as a matter of fact. And back then, state of Illinois had license plates on the front.
Mm-hmm.
So if I saw a car coming with a license plate on the front, that was a ride all the way home. I thumbed pretty hard. And, you know, most of the time I would catch a ride in Tupelo and to come ride all the way to Fulton. And they were looking for somebody to talk to. You know, they were traveling salesmen or whatever they were. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, you can't do that nowadays because the way things have changed. But, you know, we did the best we could.
Yeah, we had a lot of faith in people. We really did back then. Was that hard on you over in Fulton, Kentucky? And you're in the hotbed of basketball in the country back then. I mean, Kentucky was the school. How was it to leave Kentucky and go somewhere else? And you were one of the best basketball players in the state of Kentucky at that
time. Well, Kentucky was involved in that. The doctor in my hometown of where I went to high school, of Clinton, Kentucky, was a team physician for the University of Kentucky basketball. Mm-hmm. Him and Adolph Rupp were big buddies. And so Dr. Jackson talked to Coach Rupp about me coming to Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And Coach Rupp said, well, he'll have to play guard, so he needs to go to a junior college and learn to play guard, and then when he's a junior, he can transfer to the University of Kentucky. So the first guy that came along and said junior college, I said, that's where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
And so it happened to be at Wama Junior College in Fulton, Mississippi. And the next day somebody said, well, where are you going? And I said, well, I'm going to some junior college, but I can't remember the name. And I couldn't remember it until he sent me my scholarship papers that I signed. And then I wrote it down where I could tell people. Mm-hmm. That's why I went to junior college. Now, when I got down there, I found out that I wasn't the only one down there that could play.
Mm-hmm.
We had five or six boys. Matter of fact, we went undefeated and won a state championship the first year we were down there. That had never happened in the state of Mississippi before. A junior college go undefeated and win the state championship. So the next year, we did it again. So, and it has not happened since. We did it 2 years in a row. And in the year 2000, our team was voted by the state legislature in Mississippi as the junior college team of the century.
Wow.
Because nobody's ever done that. The first six got major college scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going back next weekend for our 50th class reunion from the 50 years since we won the second state championship. And we're really looking forward to
it. That's going
to
be neat.
All of us except one is still alive.
Oh.
And most of them will be there. But anyway, back to the Rupp story. So I go to Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get down there, you know, I told the coach, I said, now, you understand that I'm supposed to play guard. He said, well, if you play down here, you'll play guard.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did and learned how to play. Well, then.
And you were what, 6'3"?
6'3", weighed a big 165. And so when I, you know, get almost finished down there, I go home and Dr. Jackson, you know, carries me to University of Kentucky to talk to Coach Rupp about my scholarship. And I got up there, and he said, well, boy, he said, you've done pretty good down there. He said, we're going to give you a scholarship. And so I signed my scholarship papers. And he said, now, is there anything else you need? I said, well, my wife will need a job. And he said, oh, are you married? I said, no, sir, but I'm going to get married June the 7th. He said, well, I don't take married players. He said, now, you make up your mind right now. You want to play for University of Kentucky or you want to get married? I said, well, Coach, I'm going to get married. So he just tore the papers up and walked out. And I had to get Harry Lancaster, the athletic director and freshman coach, to take me back to find the guy that I rode up there with. And
wow.
So then I go back, and me and my buddy that I roomed with, T-Bone Lewis, we decided we was going to go as a package somewhere. And so we called up here. And they were in the process of changing coaches from Ed Diddle to Dr. Bill Stokes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we came up here and talked to him, and unfortunately, T-Bone never did graduate from high school, and that posed a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't get to come, but I did. And it turned out was the best thing that ever happened to me. Number one, getting married, and number two, because of that, I couldn't go to Kentucky and came up here. And
you got a better package deal with your wife than you did with Coach Rupp.
Yeah, I got a cook and a car.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
She had a car, and I'd been away from her for 2 years down there in Mississippi, buddy, and it was pretty rough.
Yeah,
and I decided I wasn't never going to be away from that woman again if I could help it.
Mm-hmm.
And then another story that goes along with those lines, my senior year, we were playing at Murray, and Murray had the only black player in the OVC at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And the game was over. We go out, and there's a guy comes up to me and said, are you Larry Stewart? I said, yeah, I am. He said, well, I want to talk to you about playing for the Harlem Globetrotters.
Wow.
I said, man, we might ought to move over on this light where you can get a better look at me. He said, oh, no. He said, we take a team that plays against the Globetrotters.
Washington
Generals.
Generals, that's right. Generals.
And he said, we want you to play for that team. And he said, now, all we want you to do is shoot.
Mm-hmm.
When we put Marcus Haynes in there to go into his dribbling act, we'll take you out. You don't have to fall for all that stuff. So all we want you to do is shoot. And we'll pay you $10,000 a year.
Whoa. Back in, that's a lot of money.
I said, man, there ain't that much money in the world. But I said, I'm going to have to decline. I said, I made a commitment on June the 7th, 1962, and I married my childhood sweetheart, and I'm going to stick with it. Now, I started teaching for $3,800.
Mm-hmm.
Now, had I not been married, that would have been the greatest thing that could ever happen to me, travel the world with the Globetrotters. And but, you know.
Was Goose playing at that time?
Goose Tatum, Marcus Haynes, and all that bunch.
Yeah, and I saw him play it two or three times.
Oh, everybody saw him. I mean, that was back before TV. Every once in a while, a channel, the 4 or the WSM, NBC or somebody would televise a Globetrotters game. Man, that was something else. Everybody gathered around to watch the Globetrotters.
And Saperstein, was he the one talking to you?
Saperstein was the man that came up to me. Because really, I think he was up there looking at Stuart Johnson that played for Murray to play with the Globetrotters, because he was the only black player in OVC. But then... And see, Coach Trickey had played with the Globetrotters for a little while.
I didn't know that.
So Coach Trickey had you know, told him that I might be interested. And they needed a shooter, because I couldn't go. But I still think about that every time I see the Globetrotters play.
I'm just sitting here with my mouth open, because I had never heard this story all the times I've known you. And that would be one of the... That was a hard decision. You act like it was just an easy decision you had made your commitment and you're going to stick by it. But, you know, that's a lot of money and a lot of – that would be one of the more interesting things that an athlete could do.
Yeah, and, you know, you didn't have to be in the best of shape. Of course, now, back in those days, the NBA was not like it is now.
No.
Wherever you played college ball determined who you played in the NBA with. And here at Middle Tennessee, we were in with the St. Louis Hawks. And I could have tried out with the St. Louis Hawks. All I would have had to have done to play was to beat out Clyde Leavitt, Cliff Hagan, or the guy from LSU that was All-American.
Unbelievable.
And I thought, you know, maybe I'd need to try a different direction. And then that's when the Globetrotters came along and I mean, I do not regret not going with the Globetrotters. I think it would have been a lot of fun. And, you know, $10,000 and them paying all your expenses, man, that was a lot of money back in them days.
And then you end up going to Brown Store eating biscuits and sausage.
Yeah, in Country
Ham. And you could have been eating at all the great restaurants in the world, and you chose Brown Store.
That's right. I could have been eating raw fish in France, probably.
You know, you're quite an amazing man. I mean, you're the things that you like and you want to do. You're able to turn down things that people would give their right or left arms for to do because you want to make the right choices. I think that's pretty neat.
Well, I told somebody I've had a great life.
You really
I've
have.
Done most everything I want to do. And I've made some great friends, and if I kick out tomorrow, I've had a great run.
But the thing about it, more than that though, is you've made other people's lives better, and you've helped them succeed. I think that's what's really the make of a man. If you have left people in better shape than what they would have been if they had not known you, That's what's really special. And you're one of those people in this community that I don't hear anything but just positive things and what Larry did for me and or Mr. Stewart did for me during all those years. And that when you have reunions, it's like you're going to have your 50th reunion down in Mississippi for your what was it? I forget the name of the school just like you did.
Itawamba Junior. Nobody ever heard of it till we went.
I had never heard of it till you mentioned it, which is amazing.
Well, I tell you what's really amazing about it, Truman, and you talk about how segregation affected everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The first year we won the state championship, we were eligible to go to the National Junior College Championship in Hutchinson, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
We were all primed to go. The governor of the state of Mississippi said, "You won't go," because there were some blacks that played on some of the other teams.
Mm-hmm.
And Mississippi was so segregated that we didn't get to go. Now, not only was that unfair to the town of Fulton, Mississippi, who had about 500 people, we may not could have won that thing, but no junior college team had ever beaten us, so we thought we had a pretty good chance.
Mm-hmm.
We could put Fulton, Mississippi on the map real quick. So not only were the blacks discriminated against, I felt like all of us on the team were discriminated against because the governor would not let us go. That's the same year that Babe McCarthy and Mississippi State won the SEC,
mm-hmm.
and he said, "You can't go." They sneaked out and played a game, and then he sent the plane for them to bring them home. Now, that's how it was in Mississippi in 1960, and it was unfair to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody in Mississippi accepted that, and that's the way it was. So we didn't get to go, and we could have gone 2 years, but he wouldn't let us go.
You know, back in those days, we didn't think anything one way or the other.
No.
Because we were brought up in certain lifestyles, and so was other people. But you and I went through a time of change that's probably never been done before anywhere, because you had people that were discriminated against in the worst ways, and then you had people on the other side that really... It never crossed your mind
that
there was any discrimination going on until it started coming up to the forefront in the 60s when you started seeing those things happen. And I don't know why, it just made a light bulb go off in everybody's heads. It was actually what was going on. And it was a shame that I guess that we didn't realize some of the things that were going on and some of the people that were being mistreated. And But it did come, and thank goodness, in the 60s and the 70s, you started seeing things change, and it changed everything. It changed society. It changed sports. It changed everything.
Schools.
And people finally got to be recognized for what they could do rather than just who they were.
Oh, yeah. The kids in Clinton, Kentucky, which is Hickman County, Kentucky, that lived on the other side of the tracks, the black kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went to school in Clinton. They had to go to Hickman, which is in a different county. And we'd play on Friday night, and I'd go to the pool room in Clinton on Saturday, you know, just to get everybody to just tell me what a great job I'd done. And there was a little black kid in there racking balls that played for Hickman Riverview.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd say, "How'd you do last night, Larry?" I said, "Well, I got 28. How'd you do?" He said, "I got 40.
Wow.
But see, nobody knew because he had to go to school in a different county. Now, and it took us forever to figure out that wasn't right. And you know, I don't know why it took so long.
Well, I guess it probably didn't affect us directly.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's
yeah.
the way people look at things.
I guess so.
And sometimes I think we become so caught up in our own way of doing things that things outside that zone, it doesn't really affect you that much, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what it is. But it's a shame, but that's the way things have been historically in the world. I mean, and I don't think it'll ever change that lot.
People just accepted the fact that that's the way it was supposed to be, and you know, the further south you got, the worse it got. I mean, we played against integrated schools when I was in high school. And as a matter of fact, everybody on the 1961 Itawamba basketball team had played against integrated schools in their high school. But we were in Mississippi then, and things change when you get down there.
The one thing in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County, though, that stands out in my mind during that period, we were not involved in a lot or hardly any conflict here.
No.
During those times when there was so much going on and there were riots and sit-ins and people were voicing their opinions negatively or whatever. You didn't see that here because the leadership in this community worked so well together. I never will forget, Murfreesboro would been a shining star during that time because you had Mr. Scales, who was a tremendous leader during that time, and then you had the mayors here and all of the councilmen, and they all worked together so well. They were able to bridge that gap without controversy, yes, which was extremely amazing during that time because it was so emotional.
Yeah, and let's not forget Collier Woods.
Right.
I mean, a great guy, mm-hmm, and he was a big, big part of making everything go as smooth as it did. Mr. Collier Woods was one of the greatest guys I've ever known in education in Rutherford County. But, you know, we integrated Las Casas High School in 66, and, you know, we never had a problem.
We had Dr. Leon Rulins. We were talking about him and honoring his life. And the thing about Dr. Rulins over in Cannon County and all the way across the state, matter of fact, his reputation preceded him wherever he went. And everybody had so much respect for him at the time. He bridged a gap just like it was done then. You know, when you came in, you have bridged a gap. Nobody has as much influence on a community as principals and teachers and people that are involved with our kids and grandkids' future. And that's something I think it gets lost in the shuffle a lot of times, because they're the ones that are going to make their futures great, which makes us as grandparents and parents feel so much better.
Yeah.
And I think our community has been blessed to have leadership like you that has been here all these years that kids still talk about. They still talk about what you have done for them. And you talk about other principals, and I have given Butch a lot of heck over the years, as you know. But he did a great job over at Walter Hill.
Yes, he did. And, you know, Butch took over for an icon. I happened to go in, you know, when everything was in an uproar. But Butch took over for Roger Brewington, and who was one of the greatest that's ever been. But Butch did a great job. But, you know, the times have changed since I started. And the first group that graduated after I was principal was 1967. We had a little weenie roast this weekend. We get together a lot. Mm-hmm. And we were talking, and some of those kids probably, I can recall two, that probably wouldn't have graduated had it not been for Las Casas School. And but we kind of pushed them through, mm-hmm, and they got their diplomas. They're making good livings, paying their taxes, and I'm not going to apologize for that one time, because, you know, they, if you quit school, and, you know, like Goose Davenport and I said, had it not been for Rockville High School, we'd probably both been in the penitentiary by now. But, you know, those old schools, little high schools, they served their purpose, mm-hmm, back in the 60s. And so we had some that went on to be doctors and lawyers, and we got some as truck drivers. And one of them was Ted Meadefair. He said, you remember when we had that economics class that you taught? And said, you'd give us a test, you'd come by, and I'd say, I don't believe that answer right there is right. And he'd say, well, Mr. Stewart, if that's not right, what do you think it is? And I'd say, well, I think it's so-and-so, and he'd write it down. We got him through. He's got his high school diploma, and he said, I ain't a bit better truck driver, but I'm glad you made me get it. And I think most of them are.
You know, that's really what makes this country great, is people like that, that this teachers and education people have taken an interest in those people. They make sure that they're loved, that they're cared for, and they also make sure that they get the education that they have the aptitude for, that the teacher can pull out of them and get it going. Sometimes I think we put too much emphasis on trying to make all these kids rocket scientists or whatever. It's not going to happen, and it's not going to help them at all. It's not going to help the other kids at all. I mean, the magnet schools are great because you've got those kids that have particular aptitudes that can, in the math and the science and things like that, that they will go into their particular realm that they're suited for, and so will others. But not one of them is more important than the other.
No.
Everyone is, when you're giving attention to, you should be able to give the same amount of attention to make sure that particular kid's
well,
safe.
Everybody,
and you guys did that.
Everybody's not supposed to go to college.
No.
Everybody don't want to go to college.
No.
And, you know, people ask me, did you treat every child equally? No. I treated every child fairly.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't treat them equally because they're not equal to start with.
No.
Now, what you got to do is take them where they are and try to get them to where they need to be. And some of them need to get on out of high school and take that truck driver's test and get that commercial driver's license and drive and make a whole lot more than I ever made, I'll put it that way.
Wouldn't it be a little bit more stressful in a way that really there shouldn't be stress on some of the kids trying to get them at certain levels and what we're putting? I mean, they're scoring these kids against kids in Japan and
yep.
Russia and all these other countries. I don't, that's not apples and oranges, is it?
No,
I mean, it is
no.
Apples and oranges.
And, you know, back in the late 60s, there was a big push for the vocational schools and the vocational subjects in high school, which I think was the greatest thing we've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what they're getting away from? You got Holloway High School sitting over there who had the best shop
mm-hmm.
around, and I guess it's just sitting there idle now mm-hmm. because they won't fund it, you know, and this, I think that's a big mistake. Kids need to learn how to make a living.
Yeah, they do. And are we getting that like we used to? They had all those things, special classes for people that they could use their hands, use their minds, do all those things, and now it's cookie-cuttered, and there's just something not right, and we are losing so many jobs here in the United States, and I'm having a hard time dealing with that particular issue myself, because you know when they passed the NAFTA and all that stuff back years ago, and we're still losing jobs to other countries by these big manufacturers because they can do it cheaper, less money, and all that, and
they
don't
know
understand
how to do it.
Yeah, and they keep talking about, well, we're going to protect the middle class. We're losing the middle class.
We are. We're in a minority.
Yeah, and if they don't straighten up, I don't know what we're going to. But it doesn't seem like it's addressed at all. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with Larry Stewart.
This is FM.
I didn't mean to get on my soapbox.
We're talking with Dr. Rishi Saxena, this area's only certified physician in heart CT, about the 64-slice CT scan.
Before you go for heart catheterization because of chest pain or minor abnormality in stress test, you need to consider this non-invasive device to find out about the blockage. Or if you just have risk factor, you're not having any chest pain, you want to find out plague early so you could act on it.
No needles, no pain, it only takes minutes. Call 896-4800. Dr. Rishi Saxena.
Bud's Tire is your go-to tire dealer for not only tires, but also oil changes, alternator problems, fan belt problems, brakes, shocks, struts, and more. This is Kay Mitchell at Bud's Tire Pros on the old Woodbury Road, just outside the city limits of Murfreesboro. Let our family help your family's car, truck, van, or SUV run better today. Call 896-TIRE or visit us at 3600 Old Woodbury Road.
If you're age 50 or older, we'll give you an auto insurance discount from Auto Owners Insurance. Mature drivers have fewer and less costly accidents, so we'll charge you less for your personal auto insurance. I'm Doran Claiborne with Claiborne & Taylor Insurance. Insure both your car and home with us and qualify for more premium discounts through Auto Owners Insurance. Come by our office at 319 West McKnight Drive or give us a call at 893-5064.
You can depend on Claiborne & Taylor.
This is Frieda Morgan with First National Bank in Murfreesboro. If you're in the market for a loan of any sorts, please call my friend Steve Smith and let Steve show you the personalized service available at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We're conveniently located at 2230 Mercury Boulevard. Again, please call Steve Smith, 615-494-4200 at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It could be any moment,
The deer of a lifetime walks by, and you have to be prepared. That's why you need to shop Murfreesboro Outdoors.
This is Randy at Murfreesboro Outdoors.
All right, now you hit that one, my boy.
We got camouflage clothes, shotguns, shells, boots, pretty much anything. We got it. If we don't have it, we'll get it.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street, just down from the old International Paper location.
You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS, AM and FM.
And welcome back with Larry Stewart. And Brian mentioned that we need to say hi to Butch. Of course, we've already said hi to Butch, but we can do it again. I guess he wasn't listening.
Probably. Hi, here. Butch. Yeah. Get well, buddy.
Yeah, and hurry home. In fact, we want to get you on the show, and we can talk about all your trials and tribulations that you've been going through. That'll be a fun, won't it?
Yeah. He's got some stories to tell, I'm sure.
He's got a lot of stories to tell. But listen to his stories and your stories and all the principles that you've mentioned back over the years. You guys kind of mirror each other. I mean, it's very close, very similar. It seemed like you had probably kind of the same type problems in the communities all across, although every community was different. And, of course, they've all changed now since we've lost the local schools primarily.
Well, a couple of years ago, I went over to Chapel Hill. Joe Shelton died. He was principal at Eagle.
I didn't know that.
I thought of all the times that Joe and I had talked on the phone about our problems, or we coached against each other, and, you know, he looked like he ought to get up and just roll up and say, "Hey, buddy," like he always did. But we were buddies, all of us. We all got along. Mr. Reed at Rockvale, we all got along. And, we would help each other. And somebody might have like Clifton Tucker one time had a teacher that just couldn't function at Thurman Francis Junior High. And he called me and he said, "I hate to fire him, but he just will you take him?" And I said, "Yeah." Turned out he did a great job for me, a different situation. But, we worked together.
Well, you mentioned Joe Shelton. Of course, I knew him back many, many years ago. Yeah. And he was a poor loser, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He loved to win. And he would beat you. There's a lot of Eagleville Rockvale stories that we don't have time to tell. But now they had some classic battles when Clifton Tucker was at Rockvale and Joe was at Eagleville. I mean, they both played to win, buddy.
Now, I have always been told by people who were in certain positions, superintendents and stuff like that, that the principal was king of his domain. Now, how was it that you had all those responsibilities that fell on you? And they talk about, one of the things, it was tenure. Do you think tenure, and you had a control over what went on, do you think tenure actually was involved in discipline teachers at the time when you were there? If you had a teacher that was not living up to your standards, which may not have happened at Las Casas because you had such a good hold on things, but if you had one like that, did you have any difficulty dealing with that particular teacher simply because they didn't make it to tenure?
Well, yeah, it caused you problems. Now, and a lot of teachers are not bad at the time they make tenure. They get bad, but yeah, it's a problem. And what we would do in this county was we might, move them from one school to another, call pass the trash. And but the principal that gave that teacher tenure was the one that wound up with her. So, yeah, it's a problem. And it only protects a sorry teacher. Now, the REA people are going to get on me about this, and I was a member of the REA for 36 years. But, of course, I was a teacher, too. But, if you're doing your job, you don't need it. And if you've got a principal that's just really got it in for you, then we need to do something about him. But I never had tenure because I was a principal. And I got to be principal before I ever got tenure. So, I didn't have it. And I didn't feel like I needed it as long as I was doing my job.
What do you think about the bargaining rights for teachers? I have always been very supportive of teachers being able to go, because they can. A lot of times it seems like that they're the group that's never listened to when it comes to the education of the children. Don't you feel like that we need spokesmen from the educational community to actually help make up the curriculum for what goes on in the classroom?
Absolutely. We need people working for the rights of teachers. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not real sure that that needs to be the teacher, because that would make you your own boss. But we need people, and the State Department needs to realize that people who do the teaching are the ones that know more about teaching. Mm-hmm. And instead of having somebody come in that's never been in a classroom and making up the curriculum, mm-hmm. well, I mean, everybody knows better than that.
Right.
So, you know, get teachers or get ex-teachers, retired teachers, but, you know, let them have a little input. But, yeah, I think the teachers need to be heard.
Mm-hmm. And the principals.
Well, yeah.
And all those involved in education.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, it works well here. We've always had a pretty good school board. We had great superintendents. We really have.
Yes.
And I think if you listen to those people, it makes it a whole lot more productive for the community that they're in. It really does.
And speaking of superintendents, a product of the old Las Casas High School is now Superintendent of Schools in Rutherford County.
And a great
guy,
too.
And mark my word on today, whatever today is, he will go down as being one of, if not the best, Superintendent of Schools Rutherford County has ever had, because he's got knowledge of education, he knows how to handle people, and he does the right thing every time. And you can't say that about everybody, but Don Odom does the right thing every time. And you know, he don't go off half-cocked. Mm-hmm. He knows his business, and he'll go down as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, superintendent of schools we've ever had.
And he's a product of Las Casas?
Graduated the year before I got there. That's the only thing I regret, that I didn't.
Oh, you cannot take credit for him.
Las Casas High School can take credit for him.
Well, unfortunately,
I had both his daughters, and they're super too. I'll put it that way.
Well, I hate it, because we're going to have to go off the air.
We've
run through an hour too quickly.
We have.
It's always good to have you on, Larry. You're a good friend, and I appreciate everything that you've done for the community. And it's just a lot of fun to have you on.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll be back in the morning at 9 o'clock. We're going to have another great guy on, Mr. Jack Jolly.
Saw Jack the other night, didn't we?
And he's doing a whole lot better.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. He's ready to go scout for the White Sox.
He's ready to scout for the White Sox, and he's looking at some good talent right now. We'll see you in the morning at 9 o'clock.